Chapter 4. Victims. Suddenly, from the street outside, a cheerful gentleman began to beat on the shop door with a walking stick. He shouted playfully and called for the clerk by name. Markheim, frozen by fear, glanced at the dead man. The clerk lay quite still. He was in a distant place, far beyond earshot of the knocking and shouting. The clerk's name, which once would have caught the clerk's notice instantly, had become an empty sound. After some time, the cheerful gentleman finally stopped his knocking and left the shop. Markheim felt the need to hurry what remained to be done. He needed to take as much as he could and to get away from this accusing neighborhood. To avoid getting caught, he would throw himself into the busy streets of London in his escape. It would take him all day to reach the safety of his own home. One visitor had come, and, at any moment, another might follow and be more determined. To have done the job of killing the clerk and to not collect the profit would be too horrible a failure. The money was now Markheim's concern. To get the money, he needed to find the keys. He glanced over his shoulder at the open door, where the shadow was still present and moving. Without much thought, though he was a little nervous, he drew near the body of his victim. The body looked completely empty of human life. Like a suit half filled with grass, the arms and legs lay spread out and messy on the floor. The sight of the body disgusted him. Markheim feared touching the body even more, but he had to find the keys. He took the body by the shoulders and turned it on its back. It was surprisingly light and easily movable, and the arms and legs, as if they had been broken, fell into the oddest positions. The face had no expression, and it was as pale as wax. One side of the face was shockingly smeared with blood. That was, for Markheim, the one troubling detail. It carried him back to an unpleasant memory of his past. It reminded him of a certain fair day in a fisherman's village. It was a gray, windy day. The fair was crowded with people on the streets. Bands played loud instruments, and people listened to a singer. Markheim was a young boy then, being swallowed by the crowd going here and there. He was both interested and afraid of all that was going on around him. Then, walking out upon the main area of the fair, he saw a great screen with disturbing pictures on display. There were pictures of famous murderers and disgusting bloody bodies of murdered victims. The image in his mind was as clear as a picture. He was once again that little boy looking with disgust at the horrible pictures. A song from the music played that day suddenly came to mind. The loud drumming from this memory surprised him. And then, for the first time, he immediately felt sick to his stomach and weak in his joints. Markheim knew he must resist and get over this bad feeling. He thought it would be wiser to face his feelings rather than to ignore them. He looked more carefully at the dead man's face, trying to realize the greatness of his crime. It was such a little while ago that the face had moved with every change of emotion. That pale mouth had spoken. That body had been moving about with energy. Now, and by his doing, that piece of life had been put to an end. Like a watchmaker using his finger to stop the beating of a clock, Markheim did his work on the clerk. He told himself this so he would not feel guilty. He felt a little pity for the clerk. The clerk had been fortunate and had earned many things in life, but he had never really lived. And now he was dead. But Markheim did not feel any regret for killing the clerk. Shaking himself clear of these thoughts, he found the keys and went toward the open door in the shop. Outside, it had begun to rain heavily. The sound of the shower upon the roof had taken away the silence. The chambers of the house were haunted by a continuous echoing that combined loudly with the ticking of the clocks. And as Markheim approached the door, he seemed to hear, in answer to his own quiet footsteps, the steps of another foot moving away up the stair. The shadow still moved slightly on the floor by the entrance. He was resolved to find out who, or what, was on the stairs, so he used his full weight and drew back the door.